Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Okay, so this is just crazy. I want to extend the weekend. I had so much fun with you. For those of you who haven't heard the past show, Kelly and I and our
kids,
others, your kids,
exactly,
went camping. Well, yeah. Including Moose, so your third child, right?
My
your
vaginal
birth child,
yeah.
Yes,
and exactly.
It was so much fun, but I feel like we need to be there for another 3 days so we can get in. I'm a rhythm person.
Yes,
you know, it's like it takes. I get so excited to be someplace new that all I want to do is see everything and do everything, and
sure.
Then it's really hard to relax. And then it was Sunday morning; we all had to go.
You were so great. First of all, I need to tell the listeners how you rescued Moose.
Aww.
Moose is my baby, my pride and joy, and we had the safari tent that zips up. We zip it up. We went to get something to eat. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Deborah like, hey, I have Moose here. He's like wandering around. I'm like freaking out. I don't know how he unzipped it or got out. Who knows?
That is a mystery.
It is a mystery.
I really think that it
was
the
little
neighbor girl next door. And
yeah.
She was so scared when I said, did you by chance?
I know.
Said, you're not in trouble. Just
yes.
Want to know how
exactly.
The little
Houdini
got out.
No. Yeah.
He was looking for you. That's the thing.
I mean,
babysitting your kids was a treat and a half.
We were so, like, seriously, that was, like, the highlight of the weekend for us. It was, like, we needed a break. You took over. It was wonderful. I got to work out. It was fantastic. We were so appreciative. You're so good with kids.
Well, what's hysterical is that your three-year-old is saying, Dr. Deborah?
Isn't that
Dr.
so
Deborah? And he looks, he's got piercingly intense eyes.
I know.
He looks at you like he's just
yep.
encompassed your
yes.
entire being in his heart.
And thank God, because when he goes the other way, you know what happens. He's got a temper, so
but
they love
really
you.
Fun.
They love you. And
oh.
I told you, my older son still like can recite every gift that you've given him.
Oh my gosh,
isn't that funny?
So funny?
Yeah,
I just love them. They are so precious.
Cute.
And you know what? It's so funny because kids will sometimes behave so much better for other people than they will for their parents.
Then
I mean,
they really, can live with
they
you.
They were not difficult at all. Just so you know,
thank
I'm not just saying
God.
That. You guys went off and did. There's a few moments they were testing me. I could
definitely
yeah. tell
yeah.
that they were seeing. Like, does she mean business when
yeah.
she says I can't do that? Like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I'm like a no nonsense grandparent.
Yes.
I'm not
yes.
a grandparent yet, but I'm a pseudo grandparent.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's so funny.
Anyway,
but
so
it was great.
It was awesome. That was awesome. So that, there's nothing else really for us to catch up on because we kind of
yeah, we were exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
My niece came in, who's getting married next year. She came in
that's great.
Over the weekend. So when we got back, mm-hmm. we actually went bowling with her.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
we went out to dinner. So that was really special.
You had a busy weekend.
It was a very busy weekend.
Yeah.
I need now like 3 days to just chill.
Exactly, to recoup.
But that's not going to happen because here we are.
Exactly. Well, with that, let's do our commercial spot of our amazing
absolutely.
Sponsor.
Are you getting tired of trying to create a positive life with a negative mind? Vantage Point Recovery believes that the potential wholeness and well-being of our clients depends on a systematic approach to developing an authentic and fulfilling life. Specializing in the treatment of individuals struggling with mental health and substance use disorders, we believe that your journey is our journey. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be able to create a shift in the thinking of you or a loved one.
Thank you, Vantage, for sponsoring our show. We are very, very grateful and
yes.
very pleased to have you as part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to give us a call today,
yes.
please do so at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. We have a great guest today. Last week, we had Janice Spindell and Carly Spindell. Two of the most
famous
matchmakers. Yay. Yeah. So
really interesting to hear how that whole process works. Like I loved when I asked her the question, Carly, I said, how do you match them up physically? Because people are very particular about that. And she had said, I thought this was sort of interesting. She said, I asked for pictures of their ex-girlfriends.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Sense.
Yeah. So I don't know. That stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really cool. Really
I just can't believe how much money people will spend on matchmaking.
God.
Up to $1 million. Holy cow.
Look, if you've been trying and searching for love, like it's probably really worth it to a lot of people. I mean, I don't know. I mean, think about it. It's like if you've never had that and you feel like you're living that life, you know, of a solo life, and you want that partner, I guess you're willing to pay for that. You know, so.
I guess so. And they were very busy. They
yes, that's
like,
what
right?
I'm saying.
How many cards a day did she say she passed out?
Oh, yeah,
out?
That's like right. Like
300 cards a day or something?
It was insane.
That means you got to be in people's faces
all
day
the
long.
Time.
Hi, I'm so-and-so.
I was thinking the same thing. They're like, she's probably stalking people at the gym. You know what I mean? Like, she sees a single girl. She's like, whoo. So, yeah, but that was a really, really interesting interview. Really.
So if you missed that one, go ahead and take a listen. Today, we have Patty Fitzgerald, certified child safety educator and founder of Safely Ever After Incorporated. Patty is the founder of that and is recognized as a leading expert in the field of sexual abuse prevention education. There's a mouthful. Sexual abuse prevention education. I like it. And child abduction prevention. Wow. She's certified as a child safety educator and child visitation monitor. Oh, wow. And has worked tirelessly as children's advocate for over 15 years. As a former teacher, Patty blends her expertise as an educator and, more importantly, as a mom to teach parents and kids her effective, non-fearful, Safe Smarts curriculum, which is now used at schools throughout the United States, Canada, and Great Britain. Admired for her positive approach, Patty is also the author of two highly acclaimed children's books. One, No Trespassing, This Is My Body, and Super Duper Safety School. She has been featured on Dateline NBC, Good Morning America, CNN, The Today Show, MSNBC, and I'm sure the list goes on and on. And here she is. Welcome, Patty.
Hi. Thanks,
Yay.
Guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
I'm
my
really
gosh.
Happy to be
so
here.
Excited. These books are just
fantastic.
Too adorable. I wish we had a visual here, but we'll find some way to put maybe copies of them up
yes.
on our website.
Yes.
These are just so user-friendly and
yes.
so like I can just see children just seeing this on the stand and just going, Mommy, I
yes.
want that book.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was telling Patty before the show that my kids, 3.5 and 7, they loved them and they both really got it. And I was telling her I love the illustrations. I feel like you know what it reminds me of? Like a Scooby-Doo like
yes.
character. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that kind of Velma and the other person. I don't know, that look. I really love that.
Oh my gosh, so
Thanks.
Cute. So which one should we talk about first, Patty?
Well, the first book I wrote was No Trespassing.
Okay.
It's My Body. And the second one was Super Duper Safety School. So if you want to just chronologically go with
Let's do it.
No Trespassing.
Let's do it. Well, it kind of speaks to for itself, right? No Trespassing. This
yeah.
is My Body.
Yeah. yeah. There's some, I think there's a lot of books out there that talk about child safety and safe touches and mm-hmm. all of that. So I wanted a title that was very specific, but was also very empowering because mm-hmm. that's my whole thing is that, you know, kids should feel like this is my body and mm-hmm. I'm empowered and I get to say no or no trespassing. Mm-hmm. So every single word in both of the books is very, very specific, including the titles.
And how did you get started? That's what I want to know. Like how? Because this is such a specific niche. So I'm curious. Yeah,
I sing one note, and it's about keeping kids
yeah.
safe. Well, I started out years ago. I was a preschool teacher, mm-hmm. and I taught some theater arts, and I was a Montessori preschool mm-hmm. teacher, which is very specific, also, and. I realized that there was no way that kids were getting the right information about touches mm-hmm. and interacting with other people. And so I had been thinking about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then I became a mom.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I got to get serious. I have to think about this now. How am I mm-hmm. going to talk to Marissa, who is now 18, my daughter. I talk about her a lot.
Don't worry, we talk about our kids.
Yeah, all the time.
Good. Especially Moose, the vaginal birth dog.
Exactly. my firstborn.
Yeah. So I was working as a preschool teacher, and I started to research the Megan's Law, sex offender registers, mm-hmm. and I started asking a lot of questions. And my first job in child safety was working for an agency based out of Stony Brook, New York, called Parents for Megan's Law, and I mm-hmm. became their first community cool. outreach educator based on my experience as a preschool teacher,
uh-huh.
and then creating curriculum. So it was sort of just a natural progression. And then Safely Ever After was born out of my need to work when I wanted to work.
Yes.
Because my daughter was still very young at the time. So I wanted summers off and work on a school calendar. And so that's kind of how it all started out. That's how it all got
created. That's so neat.
My biggest challenge is that people ask me all the time, was I somehow victimized when I was a kid?
It's the,
and I have no problem people asking me anything at all. And I'm happy to say that I was lucky enough not to be victimized. But there were a lot of people, a lot of my friends, very close to me, who were. And I knew about this when I was growing up. There was a, one of my neighbor girlfriends, we were all sort of 10, 11 years old, and she was targeted by someone who lived across the street from us. And she and I and my sisters, we never told because we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to tell. We didn't think anyone would believe me. So I had all of that information. And then as a teenager, I was actually groomed by a science teacher. And I was, you know, junior, I think, in high school. And I recognized this is getting kind of yucky. And just, you know, sort of using my own instincts to step back. Again, never told my parents anything because nobody ever said you're supposed to.
Right, and that's so common.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you said it started to feel icky. I've been trying to teach my kids, like, well, my older one, really, it's like when you get that feeling that something isn't right, and it's hard to explain to them. I said you have to sort of listen to that because I think that's so important. I remember hearing an Oprah once, they had a fear expert safety person on, and he said that women would rather be polite than, you know, be rude. And so women get that feeling, like, okay, they see a man in an elevator and they're like, ooh, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to hurt his feelings, you know? Right. And so, so, I always remember that.
Yeah, I think that was probably Gavin DeBecker, who is genius. I love him. And he wrote a couple of books for adults about that. And so I took that because he's all about your instinct. And everything about safety, whether you're an adult or a kid, really is about instinct. So, but you can't say to your three-year-old or your six-year-old, listen to your instinct. So I created this term, your uh-oh feeling. Your uh-oh feeling. Kids get that. When your little brain or your heart says, this doesn't seem right. That's instinct. Kids get it. It doesn't scare them. And they can tell you their uh-oh feeling about anything. Uh-oh, that light's going to turn red, Mom. So when you incorporate the language into your everyday activities and conversation with your kids, talking about safety doesn't become then this big lecture or this scary thing. It's just kind of organic. So uh-oh feeling, uh-oh feeling.
That's perfect term. Because everybody can get that.
Do you think that we've progressed in the last 20 years in terms of parents being more open and interested in being more thoughtful about this with their kids? Or do you still, there's still a lot of ostriches, heads in the sand?
Yes and no. Yes, there is more talk about this. This is what I talk about is child sexual abuse prevention. We're slowly opening the door there and talking about the fact that it's not strangers. It's not, you know, the stranger in the trench coat. It's what I call Uncle Creepy and Cousin Yucky and your science teacher.
Sorry to laugh, but it's true.
Oh, you have to laugh. Otherwise, with this subject,
Uncle Creepy.
Uncle Creepy and all of those people. So as parents now, I call you guys the young generation of parents because you're really, you know, you're much younger and your kids are younger. You guys are coming up and you are starting to talk about it and, and look at it differently. But yet there are still, there's a population of parents who just don't want to go there because lots of reasons. I mean, you know, as a therapist, you know, people don't want to think about that.
It's like,
so
it's like sex. They don't want to educate their kids about sex because they're afraid that,
there's so many versions of sexual abuse. I mean, you know, it's, the, you know, the 16-year-old who, you know, sort of stalks the 12-year-old girl and, you know, brings her gifts and presents and all that stuff, and then, you know, forces her to have sex or do some variation.
Right.
And, like, that's and sex abuse.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is sex abuse. Yeah. You know, as a therapist, I know you're very familiar with all the clinical terms and the laws and the DSM.
Categories,
thank you. But when there's that manipulation, that power... So even when there's kids involved, minors involved, 16 and 12 years old, and that manipulation and that power, that's still grooming. You know, it might feel like it's on a different level than Uncle Creepy and a 12-year-old, but it's still going to have a profound effect on that 12-year-old who feels violated and who was violated.
You know what's interesting? I was just thinking, so I wonder if this was you, because a friend of mine who used to live in Santa Monica told me that she heard a great lecture on you know, body protection, and the thing that she remembered the most was that the speaker, either it was you or not, but said that kids shouldn't be forced to hug.
That's me.
Yep.
That's
amazing, because I'll never forget it, because this was before I had kids, and I'll never forget that. So I never force my kids to hug anyone, that be, you know, if they don't feel like it.
Grandma.
Anybody. So I always, you know, to make the other person comfortable, I say, why don't you know, if you want to give them a high five, you can give them a high five.
Right.
But I love that, because it's so, it's so in our society to just be like, oh, come on, hug Uncle Steve. He came all the way. And it's like, what if you don't want to? Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's your feeling. That's your yucky feeling.
Yes.
And there's a specific reason why we want to teach our kids that they should not be forced to express physical affection on someone else's terms.
Yes.
Because part of how we raise our kids is that you're the boss of your body. You're the boss of touches. So if I say to my daughter, go kiss Uncle Steve because he came all this way, what I'm really telling my kid is, I'm full of baloney. You're not the boss of your body. Make him feel better.
Yep.
But you have to know how to work it from the right angle.
Yes.
So, like, for grandma, maybe she doesn't want to kiss grandma, not because grandma's yucky and a molester, but she smells like mothballs, or she has red lipstick on. And so how do you make nice with everybody? So what I used to do with my own mom was I would say, you know, Mom, we're working really hard teaching Marissa how to be the boss of her body so she's safe with other people. I could really use your help teaching her the same thing.
That's
I love it. Now grandma doesn't feel like I'm trying to show
single
I'm a better parent or that, you know, my kid doesn't like her.
Yep.
And so instead of getting... instead of having her be my arch enemy, she becomes my ally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My mother was funny. She was like, yeah, sure, I'll teach her. Don't worry.
Well, she smoked his
stuff. That's
was so pretty
funny.
You know, we can extend this to so many different areas, too. We just think about it in terms of, like, sexual abuse. But like, how many eating disorders are developed because a parent says, you're not full. You haven't eaten enough. You must eat this. You must, which is telling the child who says, I'm full, Mommy.
Yeah.
I don't want any more. That's different if you have a child who's got some sort of physical condition where they can't maintain.
Right, but that's so smart. You're absolutely right.
You're just forcing
put on a sweater. I'm cold.
Yeah,
you're cold, Mom, but I'm not cold.
Exactly. I'm guilty of that. I'm just thinking, like, as a Jewish mom, like, it's like dips below 70. I'm like, bring a sweater. Like, it's so funny. But no, you're right. We really have to teach our kids that they need to listen to themselves. I mean, it's so true.
And they're watching us and they're paying attention. And if we give them mixed messages, eventually they just go, you're full of baloney.
Yes.
You don't know what you're talking about. So I'm not listening to anything.
Exactly.
So tell us about the thumbs up and the thumbs down, because I really love that too.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the books, and these again are based on the workshops that I do with kids, and I wrote them and created the curriculum using thumbs up as this is an okay thing, and thumbs down, this is not okay, or yucky, or uh-oh.
Yes.
So kids, even very young kids, I start teaching kids in preschool at the age of 4.
Wow.
They get this.
Yes.
So when parents use their thumbs up and their uh-oh, thumbs down, you can teach a kid what's okay, what's not okay, what's a thumbs up touch, what's an uh-oh or a thumbs down touch.
Yep.
And again, it's not scary, and it's language they understand.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk to kids, you know, you can't speak to them in adult language. You got to use kid language.
Absolutely.
So that's how that all came
Yeah.
out.
And I'm awesome. Just thinking out loud, because I would love for you to go to both of my kids' schools. So they just contact you and you go anywhere.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Just call me, email yeah. me. I uh-huh. schedule everything
so smart,
myself.
Because I feel like this is such a good thing for kids to have an assembly belt and learn. I mean, I'm thinking when I was young, I never had any of this.
No, typically what we got when, even when I was young, was the police, which no disrespect to law enforcement, but they would come in and say, don't talk to strangers.
Exactly.
And to answer your earlier question, Dr. Deborah, 90% of sexual abuse happens not by a stranger, but by Uncle Creepy and all those people that you know. And so stranger danger when the police come to your school is pretty meaningless. So yes, I do go to schools and do grade level assemblies and talk to kids. That's why September to June is crazy.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I work a lot, which is good. Knock on wood and everything else.
And I have a question about, do you ever get the opposite reaction from kids when you're talking to about that, and then they get really scared that someone's going to do this? Like, do you ever get that? Okay.
No, but I'll tell you why again.
Good question.
It's a great question. I'm very specific. The first thing in my children's workshops, and I tell parents too, you know, if you're going to talk to your kids, the first thing I say is, this stuff is probably not going to happen.
Good.
I don't think you need to worry about it, but you're growing up now. Just in case, you need to learn some of our thumbs up and our thumbs down family rules, or have our thumbs up, thumbs down family talk.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
So they feel at ease. Yeah.
Don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and then I don't care if your kid is 4 years old or 10 years old, when you say to your kid, you're growing up, you need to know this stuff because you're getting older, and you do it with a little smile, you got your kid's buy-in.
Yes.
Right. Of course.
Exactly. Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. My biggest panic, actually, my daughter is now 23, and when she went off to college, and then about a year in, she decided that she didn't want to do that kind of formal education, which she's now back in the School of Ayurvedics, but for a while she had the travel lust. So she comes and announces that I'm dropping out of school and I'm going to be couch surfing, and I'm saying, you're going to be doing what? and alone. I'm like, what?
Oh, God.
It was so scary because, you know, by then, I mean, we'd had all of these kinds of talks and such, but still, you know, now she's independent. I can't tell her what to do because she's an adult. So it's an interesting thing to have a conversation with an adult child about that kind of stuff. And, you know, eventually, it's often, I think that really is what she wanted to do, but she had to come to understand herself that it probably wasn't the smartest. But you know what? Yeah. That kid has got amazing intuition. So
she's
got street smarts because she's been couch surfing.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
But I mean, she really has very strong instincts about, like, safe people, good people, and she tends to draw in really magnificent people into her life. So she's just a little magical fairy.
I want to talk about grooming and sort of, for our listeners, what is the grooming process? What should we look for?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad to talk about it because most people don't understand that, you know, if it's somebody wants to target a child and sexually abuse a child, they have to get that child's trust. And so grooming is all of the preliminary charm, attention, affection, gift giving, doing a parent special favors. It's setting the stage. So it's showing a lot of extra special attention and flattery. Sometimes it's teaching a child certain words that you don't use.
Right.
Or treating a child like they're a little bit older, which was in my case with the science teacher, sort of elevating that child. The reason behind grooming is so that before a predator actually goes ahead and victimizes and touches a child or does something to a child, that child feels like, okay, I trust that person and I'll do whatever he says. So it's like you got to get your victim eating out of the palm of your hand before you victimize them. And that's what grooming is. And predators groom children and they also groom parents. So parents need to know what it is and how to recognize it. So that before it goes the next step, you can stop that relationship, whoever that person is, with your child.
Unbelievable.
So I was groomed by my fifth grade teacher in elementary school. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because I don't remember anybody ever calling it grooming at that time, right?
Yeah.
And it was really, really creepy. He later, many, many years later, was charged on multiple counts of sexual abuse of children. But the whole, exactly what you're saying, it was this, I was his teacher's pet.
Yep. Really?
He would always, after school, he'd say, you're so smart and you're so pretty. Come stay after school and help me do these things. And then all of a sudden, the doors were getting locked in the classroom.
Oh my God, this is so upsetting.
And then the next thing was come sit on his lap because he had something he wanted to show me, so it would be up close. And the next time it was to give him a kiss. And then it was, and you have to come back and visit me every year. We'll have an anniversary so that as you grow up, I want to get to know you more and more. He would have the painting parties for children. So like he'd have a VW bus and he would allow people to take paint and paint all things on. So he was like the favorite teacher.
Yeah.
And so interestingly, my only way of expressing myself at that time, because I just knew that I wasn't going to be listened to at home and no one's going to take me seriously, I went on a mission to try to get this guy fired.
Oh my God, good for you.
My own thing. And I finally got him on account of anti-Semitism, believe it or not.
Oh my God.
So the principal actually took that
seriously.
And I was saying he was doing weird things with kids.
Yeah, right.
No, like, no, he's not. He's the most loved teacher on the planet. And I told him specific things. And plus, he'd also taken a saw and flipped it on one of the kids' backs.
What in the heck? This is crazy.
So that was quite, so that's, you know, sorry not to be too personal here, but that's really, thank you so much for sharing this about grooming, because now it like really puts it into total perspective.
Yeah.
And I have a question about the specific kids. Do you find that shyer, more passive kids get sort of targeted more, or does it matter?
Not necessarily. Another really good question, because parents think, I have a really outgoing child.
Exactly.
So they're going to be more victimized because they'll go with everybody. Or I have a really shy child, so they're going to be... No. Here's what makes a child vulnerable. Parents with blinders on.
Yeah.
Parents who haven't taught their kids to listen to their uh-oh feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Or who haven't taught their kids that it's okay to tell mom or dad when something happens.
Yeah.
What makes a kid vulnerable? Parents who are so strict or withhold affection. Because a predator will
is
be very loving.
Yes.
To be affectionate and all of that.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Other things that would make a child vulnerable. Certainly if you're from a family that can't afford a steak dinner or a pair of $75 sneakers.
Yeah.
If you've got a gym teacher who says, I'll buy your kid $75 sneakers.
Yep.
That's pretty much grooming.
Yes.
So sometimes kids who are disadvantaged in some ways can be easily groomed. But I've seen kids in affluent families as well be groomed simply because parents aren't paying attention or think everybody's really nice. I think if a kid has too many caretakers, they're more vulnerable. If you've got a different babysitter every day of the week picking you up from school, if a predator like a soccer coach or whoever notices that.
There's no consistency in their lives and such.
There's an
in. Yeah.
Do you recommend, I'm just thinking out loud, do you recommend like any password or family sort of, I'd love to hear your rules, because I'm just thinking like on those occasions where, you know, I get caught in traffic and I have to have a friend pick up my son, but he's going to be like, whoa, 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 I don't know if I should go with you.
Yeah.
Do you recommend passwords or things like that?
I do, but I have a few caveats.
Great.
For passwords, the first is... a password is great, but your kid has to be mature enough to know how it works and remember it and know how the whole password system operates.
Yeah.
And that usually kicks in with a child who's usually around 8, 9, 10 years old. Developmentally, they're more mature. So if your kid is 8, 9, 10 years old, your password can be, ours used to be Benihana.
That's so cute.
And I would say, Marissa, if somebody comes to pick you up and says, your mom is stuck in traffic, your job is to say, what's the password? If they say Benihana, thumbs up. If they say, I don't know, I can't remember, or, oh, you know me.
Yes.
No.
Thumbs down.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Smart.
For kids who are younger, though, and I know your children are a little bit younger,
What do you think?
Kelly, for kids who are younger, they don't quite get it. And so they say things like, is the password Benihana? Oh. You don't want that.
That is hilarious.
It is true. So for your young children, give your kids an ultimate safe grown-up list of who they can always go
count
with.
On. Yeah.
So if I can't pick you up from school because I got a flat tire, I'm going to send Auntie Barbara, Dr. Deborah, or, Susie,
whoever
the babysitter.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, that's funny. My babysitter is Susie.
Oh, there you go. I knew eventually I'd
hold that thought. On that note, a word from our sponsor.
Sounds good.
Do you believe your problems of today are going to last forever? This may be a sign of a mental health-related disorder. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on health and drug use, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from mental health and co-occurring disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with mental health and co-occurring disorders, can help you make forever problems temporary. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Hi, welcome back. We are with Patty Fitzgerald, certified child safety educator and founder of Safely Ever After and the master author of two amazing books, No Trespassing, This Is My Body, and another one, Super Duper Safety School, Safety Rules for Kids and Grownups. And she just handed us these wonderful little postcards and a little guide on some rules and things about safety for kids.
I love this.
The blue postcard, blue and white postcard there, that's my super 10 safety rules. And and you'll see that it says for kids and grown-ups.
Yeah.
Because kids like to know that grown-ups are in on this too. And it's not just more rules for them, but they're very specific too. And that goes along with teaching kids what's thumbs up and what's thumbs down. If somebody's breaking a rule, thumbs down.
This is fantastic. I'm going to read this to my son tonight in bed. He will be so into it because
they're in the books too.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. You know, you were saying though too, and I think this is really critical, is that a lot of the kids though who are abused by outsiders outside of the family are also being abused in some various ways inside
the
home, right? Mm-hmm. So the kids become very scared. Like, I love your rule that I don't keep secrets from my parents.
Yeah, yes.
However, an abused child at home and something's happening outside, not so likely to tell their parents. It becomes such
Sometimes
tricky...
that's the last person you're going to tell.
Right.
So that's why I'm glad that I'm going into schools and that more and more schools have me in, because sometimes this education has to get to the kids first.
Yep.
And so part of the conversation with kids in schools is, you know, who are your safe grown-ups? If you have a yucky secret and you don't want to tell mom or dad about it, tell another safe grown-up. And so we think about, who are your safe grown-ups? Yeah. It could be a school nurse. Mm-hmm. It could be your favorite teacher or maybe your best friend's mom.
Yes.
So I like to get the kids talking and even writing down who their ultimate safe grown-up is.
Yeah.
And
it's
that
very smart.
Goes along with your ultimate safe grown-ups of who's going to pick you
them up.
So, you know, everything is a system. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes it can be mom's new boyfriend or the stepdad or, you know, I don't want always blame men because sometimes there are female predators as well. But, you know, the majority, unfortunately, are male.
And how do you, I have a question about, so, you know, lately this term of like helicopter parenting.
Oof.
I know. And so I guess my question to you is, where do you draw the line of being sort of, you know, in the kids' faces all the time, but yet you want to give them some independence, but yet this is the reality that we're living in?
Yep. I'm glad you asked that because a lot of people think that I would advocate, knowing what I know,
yes.
and I've seen some awful things, knowing what I know, they think I would advocate helicopter parenting, and I don't.
Right.
I think it's a bad move because helicopter parenting never lets your kid establish their own sense of the world and their instincts and develop all of that. So my feeling is it's not either all or nothing. It's not totally free range. It's not totally helicopter. It's a middle ground. your job is to teach your kid how to be in the world so they can be in the world without you.
Yes.
How do you do that? Teach them at an early age and continue the dialogue until they leave for college and even then.
Right.
What's okay, what's not okay.
Yeah.
Monitor people who interact with your kids. But as your kids develop, you know, what are the developmental markers for when a kid should be able to walk to school with
yes,
a friend?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
You know, at 6 years old, no, you
right.
should helicopter. You don't let your kid ride his bike in the neighborhood alone.
Yes, right.
At 11 years old,
yeah.
If you've taught your kid what to do, if
right.
somebody slows the car down and approaches them, or if your next door neighbor, like in our neighborhood, your next door neighbor says, come on in,
yeah.
come and visit me, and I'll give you some candy if you're quiet. So what does your kid do? How does your kid respond?
Right.
I had a call last night, actually, from a local mom who said her 11-year-old son was walking with his friend in their neighborhood, beautiful neighborhood, and a very fancy car pulled up next to them, tinted windows, rolled down the window, and asked the kids some questions.
Oh, dear.
The kids knew exactly what to do because she had she had talked to me and her kids had taken my class. But, you know, the kids were 11 years old. They knew how to handle that.
Right.
So
that's what's
going to keep you from being a helicopter parent.
It's learning by seeing what judgment your children practice, right?
Exactly.
If they have good judgment in most situations, as you're an observer, then you give them more and more trust for their
Makes
independence.
Sense.
Exactly.
Probably also where you live, right? I mean, if you're in a high crime zone constantly,
but, you know, I have to say that sometimes the kids who grow up in a high crime zone have more street smarts than
sense.
The kids
sure.
who live in small town USA with a white picket fence.
Yeah. And assume everything's fine.
Yeah, and everybody's really nice, and you know.
That's
good.
So,
but yes, I mean, certainly in a high crime area, if it's densely populated, you might have more unsavory type of characters. So, you know, but this is across the board.
It's true.
Every race, every culture, rich, poor, in between.
Yeah.
So, you've said in other interviews that you don't like the terms good touch and bad touch.
No.
So, what's a better way
to
teach your kids about private parts and safe touches?
Yeah, I have a real problem with good touch, bad touch. Number one, the touch doesn't always feel badly.
That's
it doesn't
a great
feel
point.
Bad.
You're right.
So, it's not necessarily going to be painful. I mean, and that's part of grooming, too. So, if you teach your kid good touch, bad touch, your kid might think a bad touch is actually good or okay. So we want to get away from that. The other thing about good touch, bad touch, if your child gets a bad touch, they're not going to tell you because they think they're bad.
Oh,
I must be bad. Mom said, don't let anybody touch my private parts. Mm. And they did. She said, that's a bad touch. So
I'm bad.
Zip it. I'm bad.
Wow.
So instead of that, I talk about thumbs up touches and touches.
Yeah.
And a thumbs up touch is a touch that makes you feel happy, and it's not on a private part. A thumbs down touch or an uh-oh touch is any touch that makes you feel yucky.
Yep.
Especially if it's on a private part.
Yes.
Or even if it's tickling or maybe you don't feel like giving somebody a hug, or maybe you don't want somebody rubbing your shoulders or your back. Well, that can be an uh-oh touch too. In terms of private parts, the way that I teach kids is that, hey, everybody's got them. Girls, boys.
Right.
They already know it. You're not
teaching them anything
they
new.
Don't know. Right? Everybody's got them. I recommend using the anatomically correct words for body parts, although I don't use the P word and the V word in my books because some parents are still scared of those words. But teach your kids everybody's got them.
Yep.
And they have a special job. They are for going to the bathroom. And maybe someday when you're older, you know, having babies or feeding babies, but our private parts are for going to the bathroom, and so we protect them so that they don't get hurt. We're going to need them for the rest of our lives. That's why they're private. That's why we call them private parts.
Yeah.
So curiously, as you're saying that, I don't even know if we want to get into this on this particular show, but so how do you juxtapose then a child's budding sexuality and talking about private parts in the sense of their functionality versus their ability to provide sensual pleasure and sexual pleasure? So at what point do you recommend sort of bringing that conversation into the mix?
Yeah, it's a good question. When kids get into middle school and pre-puberty or puberty is hitting, the education mm-hmm. they get from me is going to be a little bit different, which mm-hmm. is why I don't do one size fits all.
Sure. Right.
So we have to talk about our private parts or other parts of our bodies mm-hmm. that respond to affection or affectionate touches
yeah.
or, you know, that we have sexuality, whether, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what it is, but that we are still able to say yes or no, and that it's tied to our agreeing to it. It's tied to how we feel about ourselves, and we don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
And if you like a touch, that's normal.
Right.
But you want to make sure that you're not being talked into anything,
coerced.
Or that you're not being you're not being coerced, that it's, you know, and that you're being safe and smart
sure.
too. And so I know that in a lot of the public schools in LA Unified and mm-hmm. and Santa Monica and a lot of the public schools, they're bringing in around seventh grade the sex ed talk
uh-huh.
very specifically
sure.
now. But I hope that's
great.
Answers
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it seemed like a sensitive
yeah,
subtopic that people would think about.
It
yeah.
is. Yeah. I find that any sensitive topic needs to be approached with a smile and mm-hmm. an empowering feeling behind it
yeah.
rather than scare, doom and gloom, and don't,
yeah,
exactly.
don't. Yeah.
You know?
So I love the term that you use, tricky people.
Yeah.
And so I was using it with my kids the other day, and they specifically asked me, which I'm sure you've heard all the time, what does a tricky person look like?
Yeah.
So what would be your response to kids, you know, if they said that?
Yeah. They say that all the time.
Yeah, I figured.
I tell kids when I'm explaining tricky people in a lesson, I'll yeah. say, you know, you can't tell who's tricky just by looking at their face. Because
mm-hmm.
some tricky people look nice. So how do you know? It's not what somebody looks like. It's how they act.
Yeah.
It's what they say or what they want you to do. That's how you know if they're thumbs up or... Uh-oh, tricky. How do you know if somebody's tricky? They're trying to break one of my Super 10 safety rules.
Uh-huh.
That way, kids feel like, you can't get one over on me.
Yes.
I know who's tricky.
I love your whole energy.
I do,
feel,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
like, I feel
thanks.
Like, if you know, like, you're even engrossing me. And I'm like, you can imagine, like, a little kid, like, yeah, they broke the rules, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Well, kids love to tell you when they
yes.
break the rules. So that's
yeah.
why I really... That's why I created Safely Ever After. We got to turn this
yeah.
Upside down and start
mm-hmm.
teaching kids in a way that's, you know, they're going to be engaged,
yes.
but it's going to make sense in their brain. So thank
exactly.
you for that.
Yeah,
you.
Can
it's
you
true.
Speak a little to... false accusation syndrome,
mm-hmm.
if you will,
ooh,
and
good
divorce
question.
Situations, let's say, where
yeah.
a child is groomed by, let's say, the mom to tell people that the dad is touching them
yep.
inappropriately, because that does happen.
It certainly does,
yeah.
especially in custodial cases
right.
and things.
Because I see
when...
you've also done child visitation
yeah.
monitor and all
not
that.
My
yeah.
most fun
yeah.
gig, but mm-hmm. a necessary one. Well, here's my feeling on the false accusations. They're very rare. And so mm-hmm. if a child discloses, the first thing we have to do is err on the side of caution and
right.
believe the child. So if a mm-hmm. child comes out and says, so-and-so touched my private parts,
mm-hmm.
I always caution parents or teachers, nurses, whatever, not to say, are you sure?
Yeah.
Did that really happen? Because that child's going to recant everything.
Sure.
So you need to do a little more... investigation with the
mm-hmm.
right people, like a therapist, start
sure.
asking questions. But parents will try and pit, you know, one parent against the other. And so I would look more in terms of other types of behavioral signs to see if that child is making it up.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on? Is that child... fearful of one parent, terribly fearful of
mm-hmm.
one parent? Does that child exhibit other behavioral issues, sudden anger, or
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to be around this adult anymore? It does happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, what's going on in the family or what's going on in that child's
sure.
life? You know, a child who is angry at one parent might think of it on their own.
Right.
I'm going to say dad did this because I don't like the fact that he's got a new girlfriend and I want to stay at mom's. I don't want to go to his house on the weekend. So there's a lot more investigation that has to happen.
Right.
But there is a statistic that says under 4% of all disclosures by a child
are false.
I believe that.
4%.
Yeah,
that
makes
so,
sense.
You know, 90, yeah. what is it, 96 then percent of disclosures are
right.
going to be accurate. And the, and so I have to start from that,
sure.
that place.
Makes sense. Okay.
Absolutely.
Don't go away. Parting words from our sponsor. A word from our sponsor, then parting
words
from
our guest.
Do you swear off drugs or alcohol in the morning, only to succumb to the thought later in the day? According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on drug use and health, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from addiction and mental health-related disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with addiction and mental health-related disorders, has a place for you. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
So with us is Patty Fitzgerald. This is so
I love this. This is one of my favorite out of like the 80 shows. I think this is so informative.
You guys are
so
nice.
Helpful.
Thank you.
No, but we don't
I
say that. We don't BS it. I mean it. I mean, I just think this is so helpful. And I have so many friends that are parents and who could really,
Absolutely.
You know, utilize this. Yeah.
So tell everybody where they can get the book. Let's say the title again. No okay. Trespassing. This is My Body. And Super Duper Safety School, Safety Rules for Kids and Grownups. So available
right.
Amazon?
They are available on Amazon.com mm-hmm. or you can go to SafelyEverAfter.com and there's
okay.
links on my website. The things, the thing I like about both children's books are that in the back there are parent guides with tons yes. of info specifically for parents. So
That's
if
great.
You can't come to one of my workshops, you still mm-hmm. get the information. I travel around the country, but I'm based here in L.A. So I'm always doing workshops, parent workshops, and all you have to do is email me, go
great.
To the website.
And what age groups do you do?
I do 4 to 6 year olds.
Okay.
They get one sort of lesson
sure.
All the way up to high schoolers.
That's
and so
great.
Basically I do grade level assembly. So school calls me up and I'm going to spend a whole day at the school grade mm-hmm. level.
Oh, cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You're a great speaker.
How do you break them up? You got 4 to 6, then you go 6 to
Well,
or
typically,
seven to...
if I'm doing something privately, I'll do it 4 to 6, 7 to 9 mm-hmm. years old. If I'm at a school, I'll do the first graders and the kindergarten kids together, second
yeah.
and third graders, fourth and fifth. Because
sure.
fifth graders got to hear it differently than the kindergartner.
Yeah.
So
sure.
that's how I do it. But
thank you.
So simple. And parents, you can do this for yourselves too.
So
fantastic.
Let's have, if you can, 3 red flags that are the top ones that parents should look out for.
Okay. Somebody who is always looking for alone time with your child, mm-hmm. access and privacy. Someone who is always telling you how great your kid is and that they want to do more than what they typically would be doing with your child. So your art teacher doesn't take your kid to Disneyland
yeah.
or the movies.
Yeah.
And the last one is somebody who's always offering to relieve you of your parental duties, especially for free. Okay, nobody wants to babysit your kids for free. Maybe grandma. That's
except
about
me.
It. Exactly. Right? Except grandma or Dr. Deb.
Sure, somebody. Right.
But when the...
I'm starting to get worried about myself.
No.
When
the music teacher says, oh, your kid's so great, I can babysit on Friday night. That's okay.
Sure.
No, thanks.
No. Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because that would be weird.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Dr. Deborah babysitting your kids is not weird. So
and
you
don't get
use
any ideas.
Sense.
Not very often, okay?
I was exactly. I'm like ready to push them over. Yeah.
The hour and a half was fine.
Exactly. You're good. You're fulfilled for the year.
Thank you so much. And that's Patty with an IE. Yes.
Yes.
P-A-T-T-I-E. Fitzgerald. Excellent guest. You were so informative.
Thank you.
Very, very
my pleasure.
Thrilled to
Thanks.
Have you. And I just love these books. I said they're
Thank
so
you.
Adorable.
Oh, yes.
So informative. So next week, Kelly, this is somebody that you know, right? Julie Barron?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm very
what
excited. So
teens?
Now we're moving up the scale with adolescents and how parents should deal with adolescents and talk with them and the best way for them to listen. I know that's a big struggle for a lot of parents as teens. So yeah, she's a wonderful therapist and I personally know her and very excited about her new book. So that should be great.
That should be fun. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So you got to check us out at our website, docandtherapist.com, D-O-C and therapist.com.
It's the rapist.
Fitting for today's show.
It really is. Funny. It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's horrible. Therapist is such a weird word.
It is a weird word.
It's a different subject.
It's crazy.
And send us emails anytime to docandtherapist@gmail.com. And our Twitter is @doctherapist1.
This site that you told me about before, an informational site, that's how you met Patty.
Oh, that's Peachhead.
Peachhead.
Yeah, that's just a listserv.
I just think that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
I'm so out of it. I didn't even know that existed. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week. And
take care.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.